Hello and welcome to Root Causes, the PKI and Security podcast, where a pair of certificate veterans talk about all matters PKI, authenticity, identity, etc. This is episode 13, and as always, I am joined by Jason Sirocco. Jason is the CTO of IoT at Sectigo, and I am Tim Kellen. I am a senior fellow at Sectigo. How are you doing today, Jay?
Hey, Tim. Great as always.
Great as always. It is great. It's especially great because this is something we've been waiting to talk about. Every time I say that you're the CTO of IoT, and then we talk about something other than IoT. So today, we are actually going to talk about Internet of Things and PKI and identity and such matters.
Probably be the first podcast of hopefully several about the topic. I think today, Tim, we're going to really start to dig into what is the current problem.
Yeah.
And hopefully also maybe shine a bright light on what might be the solution.
Okay. So I've got an IoT network. That means there are devices. They're out there in the field. They're beyond my firewall. They're out in the DMZ. They're doing things. They're giving me information or taking commands or taking action or feeding data back or somehow connecting to business critical processes and systems. Where does identity fit into this?
Identity fits into it because typically a device could be typically be talking to another device, mm-hmm. or it could be talking up to an enterprise resource, such as an ERP, or it could be talking to the equivalent in the cloud.
Right.
And you typically, if it's emitting something, if it's like a telemetry type of sensor, you might want to really know that that device is the device that is emitting that. Or what's a more common use case in an IoT and perhaps a more critical use case,
yeah,
is where a controller type of device is actually receiving commands,
right,
from another device, and you really, really want each system to be able to mutually authenticate each other. In other words, you really want to know the true origin that the command was emitted from and is being, yeah, received by.
Yeah, I think of IoT devices kind of falling into two main camps, which is sensors and actors, right? And a device can be both, but sensors, they are finding things, they're reporting them, and they're sending them back. So a meter, right, that sits somewhere is, and actors that actually take commands from other sources and change based on those. And basically, for the security and proper functioning of our systems, both of those, both sensors and actors, need to be reliable, that we're really getting real information, or we're really providing, or the information that's being provided to the device is genuine. Do you agree?
Agreed. Because we are talking about connected devices, as you said at the top of the show, and connected devices have a vulnerability,
right,
that has to do with, you know, if you look at traditional security, we might call it a man in the middle attack,
mm-hmm.
but the ability for you to get into the middle of that communication, there's many, many different ways of doing it depending on the scenario,
right,
if it's connected. And so therefore commands that are going across the wire, you really want to protect those commands, and you want to protect the identity of the origin and destination of those commands. Absolutely.
All right. So how is that done? How do we establish and verify identity for our IoT devices?
Tim, if you and I were going to go do business together right now, we might agree on, hey, if you come to my door in 30 minutes and you knock three times, I'll know it's you.
Right.
And that'll be our shared secret. One, shared two, three.
Secret. Yep. Right?
That's a real old fashioned way of doing things. And it kind of worked. The problem is, if anybody heard us having that discussion, they might go, oh, I know what to do. I'm just going to knock three times and Tim will think it's me.
Right.
And therefore you might be dealing with somebody you think is me, but in fact is someone else. And so, believe it or not, that's exactly the problem we see with something that we call in the business static credentials.
Okay. What's, yeah, a static credential?
Static credentials can take several forms. They're typically some sort of alphanumeric representation that's pre-stored on the devices from the factory.
Okay.
And that could be something that a lot of people are used to, such as a username and password.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if a device needs to log into an ERP system or a cloud system, it might be pre-programmed with a username and password. If the device itself needs to be authenticated to, if it sees that username and password being used, it might give you root access to the device itself.
Right.
So So that is a form of static credential. We also see another form of static credential being used. Again, in the business, we call a symmetric token. And the word symmetric simply means that the same secret is known to both the device itself, the secret was given to the device at the point at which it was created,
right,
as well as some other system. So in other words, it might be the cloud system that that device connects to, or it might be another device that that device connects to. The same secret is shared on both sides. Therefore, right, the secret is essentially symmetric.
So for purposes of who knows the shared secret, whether it's a password or a symmetric token, they're both the same in that regard.
They're used, I don't want to say interchangeably. People typically will choose one or the other.
Right.
But I find it interesting that when symmetric tokens are used, a lot of times people are thinking that they're being very clever, that they're not using username and password, but they don't realize that there's not a lot of extra security beyond between each other. It's simply a static credential.
Okay, so I have a large number of devices out in the field. I have, tens of thousands of devices, and I'm using a static credential. Presumably, I'm not generating a unique username and password for each of these devices, right? That's the same across them?
What we're finding in the real world is that a lot of devices are still being created with a default username and password that is the same for just about every device, which is probably your worst case scenario.
Yeah. Right. Cause then not only can you intrude on the network and take down one device, you in principle could just crash out the whole thing.
Yeah. Believe it or not though, Tim, we've also seen symmetric tokens where you actually have, I'll use the example, like key fobs.
Okay.
You might have 10,000 key fobs or more that all have the same alphanumeric code.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Whoever architected this thought, oh, well, nobody's ever going to guess this code. It's, 23 letters and numbers long.
Right.
Nobody will ever guess it, but they didn't make it different per device.
Right. So once again, if that were stolen, then all of the devices are compromised.
Correct.
Yeah.
So things like the Mirai botnet and why it was able to compromise tens of thousands, if not millions of devices, sometimes in one go.
Okay. Right. Because they did have the same shared secret on all the devices.
Exactly. Now,
that was a token in that case.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right. So therefore, it was able to figure out one. And therefore, by figuring out one, it was able to figure out perhaps millions in one shot.
Right. Yeah. So that just, to some degree, even one device compromised might be all you need to work your evil. But surely, if you have access to all of them or nearly all of them, the potential only goes up.
Tim, let's talk about California state law, which is the real actual law at the moment on this topic. And one of the things that it specifies is if you want to sell a device into the state of California, it needs to be able to have a capacity to change that static username and password at some point during its life cycle. And so therefore, and I'm sure there's better legalese, wording for that, that I should be careful to say, but that's the essential idea behind that. And that's great, except there's one more problem, Tim.
Which is?
If I'm able to listen in on the network, and let's say that network happens to be the public internet.
Okay? Sure. Right.
If those username and passwords or symmetric tokens are sent in the clear as part of their authentication cycle, they're not much of a secret, are they?
Yeah. Right. Sure. that just leaves you right where you were. Yeah, absolutely.
So for IoT, what would be better? What you need is a non-symmetric or asymmetric type of secret.
Right.
And the ability for that secret to be changed through time throughout the device's life cycle. You also need to be able to protect the communication between from device to device or device to the cloud. In other words, setting up a TLS session between
encrypted. Yes.
Exactly.
Right. So we all know what you're describing, right? This is what public key infrastructure is all about. So you're talking about a PKI scheme.
I think a lot of people who might be listening to this podcast think about IoT security.
Mm-hmm.
The right way to do it for device identity is to use a PKI infrastructure.
Okay, so PKI isn't new. Why is it then that these examples we talked about before with the static credentials, why wasn't PKI being employed then by them?
When I've spoken to a lot of people who have looked at PKI and said, well, I'm not going to go that way. I'm just going to go with a cheap and cheerful solution and cross my fingers for security.
Right.
I think one of the reasons that they fear PKI, they fully know it would be the right way to do it, but they fear it because they remember back to, you know, an earlier life they may have had where they were a manager of a PKI for a passport system, of a financial system, or of, you know, some other form of, you know, a badge-in system. It could have been, who knows? Mm-hmm. There's so many hundreds of dozens of PKI systems that have been built over the past several decades that have had fairly lengthy deployment life cycles and fairly expensive as well.
So they're expecting it to be complex and difficult is basically what it comes down to.
I think if you were to sum it up, complex and difficult, which if you're an IoT device vendor, it's the last thing in the world you want.
Right. So are those expectations justified, or is it actually something that should be well within the reach of anybody who's deploying an IoT network?
Well, I think if you see any of the other, you know, the advertisements or a salesperson coming up to you from one of the traditional PKI companies, uh-huh. I think you have every right to be skeptical, because those are the companies that made a lot of money off of professional services, and they made a lot of money off the complexity.
Right.
But I think what's changing, Tim, uh-huh. I think what's changing, and this is really worth getting into, is the idea of purpose-built PKI for IoT. In other words, being PKI that is very, very sensitive to the needs of an IoT device vendor.
So PKI is a basic toolkit. It's a building block. But you could imagine a PKI solution that is designed around the specific things that an IoT vendor needs. So what are those things?
Obviously, we're talking about scalability.
Sure.
You know, we're talking about millions and millions of devices.
Yep.
You might have had some of the largest passport systems in the world that might have used only, you know, X million.
Right.
You might be doing that number of million per week with your as an IoT device vendor.
Sure.
So obviously scalability is number one. Reliability, right? Thing just cannot go down. Therefore, we're seeing a lot of people with interest in IoT issuance coming from the cloud. It used to be that nobody ever got fired for being paranoid with their PKI.
Right.
Therefore, on-premise was a great thing. But now people are realizing, boy, the scalability and the ease of hosting that PKI in the cloud is great.
Yeah.
And I think additionally, if you take a look at we talked about complexity earlier, mm-hmm. the sheer complexity of all the knobs and buttons and settings and configurations that were necessary to get a PKI working just right for a passport system, for a financial system, stripping away a massive amount of that complexity and making it purpose-built and simple for IoT device vendors.
Right. Right. So I'm an IoT manager. There's a lot of PKI questions I don't really need to ask because we understand the use case. And so this can be given to me in a way where I'm channeled down the correct decisions.
For a lot of device vendors, you may want to just keep it as simple as I want to define what my certificate profile is. Or if I have several profiles, just define what they are. And I might also want to have one piece of complexity, which is I'm running my devices within a hierarchy, a trust model that has a hierarchy. Therefore, I have a highest level trust, which happens to be the trusted third party CA, perhaps. And then I have an ecosystem of vendors that I'm interoperating with. And I want to be able to define who those are. So therefore, you know, I do have some complexity, but my complexity is very finite and defined. Can you please give me that PKI and I'll buy it?
And it's laid out for me so that I don't have to be a PKI expert. I don't have to have a PhD in PKI to know how to do this. I can just be a sensible person who understands what my devices are and what my needs are. And I can be guided down to make the right decisions.
Yeah, the person at the factory who might be doing a manual issuance, for example, might be wearing a hard hat. They might not be, you know, a 25-year PKI veteran, which is rare to start with. Can I have a PKI that's as simple as, you know, a person who who is more operationally trained than hardcore PKI trained be able to do this? Right. And the answer is, the answer now, thankfully, is yes.
Okay, Jay. So we talked about some of the aspects of a PKI system for IoT, right? It's scalability, reliability, and simplicity of use. What about precise control?
Precise control actually could probably mean a few things. One of them could be being able to very precisely control the number of devices that are coming off of your assembly line. So in other words, the question of genuineness.
Right.
The ability to hand over not just a device that has a serial number, but a device that actually can electronically identify itself to a network on its initial startup. That's something that's very important within a supply chain. So that's one form of precision in the earlier part of a life cycle.
Right.
During the operational part of a life cycle, you know what's interesting, Tim, about the difference between operational IoT devices versus, say, human PKI that we've been talking about earlier in the podcast. Typically with people come and go from a system. They can get hired or leave a job. They can also be citizens of a country or perhaps pass away, right?
Right.
Everybody has the human life cycle that everybody's used to.
Sure.
Now, within an operational aspect, people typically think about PKI and that power to be able to revoke a device that perhaps might be misbehaving. But I know my friends in the medical industry or in the automotive industry or even in critical infrastructure, the concept of revocation can be an important one.
Right.
But when a device is actually operating, that could be a really scary topic.
Sure. Yeah, you can't revoke the airplane engine while it's in the air.
Yeah, so in other words, rather than revocation as a tool, one of the tools that we can use in terms of precision, as you say, precision of identity within a life cycle is that ability to actually have a lot more renewal cycles.
Right.
Shorten the renewal cycle. So in other words, instead of the airplane having an identity certificate that lasts the entire lifespan of the airplane, perhaps that airplane gets a new certificate renewed every time it takes off and lands, as an
right.
example.
Right. Right. And then you don't have that concern of destroying something when it needs to function or lives are at stake, right? Or maybe not lives, but the stakes are very high. But at the same time, you can have a high degree of reliability that everything that is operating in the system should be.
When you consider human PKI versus IoT-based PKI, I think what really needs to happen in terms of that question of precision, I think when we're talking to people in terms of operational use cases and very critical operational use cases is you can use that precision of being able to define PKI to be able to handle your use case correctly. In other words, from the trust model, being able to do very, very secure, but also open trust for interoperability, all the way to what's the correct certificate profile to be used for you, and what's that certificate lifecycle like? What we used to do for human PKI, which might have been fairly monotonous. In other words, we used to do the same thing for just about everyone because right. human beings kind of have a certain kind of life cycle. Devices can have very, very different life cycles. And that's the precision of PKI that neither can be replicated by static credentials, nor perhaps old non-purpose built PKIs that are quite complex for other purposes.
Yeah. And so with, just to bring it back home, with the proliferation of devices, the mission critical nature of what they're doing, again, we talk about a car driving down the street or a nuclear power plant or, you know, these really critical systems. You know, it may be that once upon a time, we weren't so worried about being able to get this level of granularity out of our PKI systems, but now we have to. It's a different time.
There might be specific controllers or actuators. You called them, you know, actors, which is right. maybe a perfect generic term for them. Those actuators or actors exist in cars, critical infrastructure plants, medical devices, smart cities. It's kind of funny. You and I didn't really go into specific verticals, but these concepts they exist within each of those verticals. And you know, that might be an entire podcast by itself is talking about what are some of the differences in the way you'd set up a PKI for each of those verticals. That might be an interesting podcast, but for now, suffice to say that PKI can handle it.
So, absolutely. I think there's a lot more detail behind this, and we'll want to get into this, and we We touched on several launching points today that will be their own podcast to come, including that last one about vertical applications. But this was a good overview of the topic. And Jason, I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Tim. We'll be talking again soon, I'm sure.
Always a pleasure.